Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Tuesday, September 28, 2021. Okay, so what do we have going on today? Well, we had a somewhat unusual direct public offering today, so I'll explain what that is versus an initial public offering. Let's see, we've got continuing news about the United States government approaching its debt ceiling, and we may have at least a partial shutdown of the government in the next few days. And also, there is the risk of, for the first time in U.S. history, a default of the U.S. government on its debt. I don't think that'll happen, but we'll talk about the scenarios with that. Over there in the United Kingdom, particularly in England, they have got food and gas shortages because of a shortage of truck drivers. So we'll see what's going on there. Stock markets were down quite a bit today due to a rising treasury yield. So we'll see what's going on there. And India, one of its largest provinces, apparently shut down the internet for the whole province so that students taking an exam to become teachers couldn't cheat. So we'll talk about that also. And we'll see what else we got going on here today. All right, so let's talk about this direct public offering. So what is that? Okay. So today we had a company, Amplitude. It's a software company. What they do is they have software that can track customer behavior, and they have some really big clients like Walmart, just all kinds of big companies. All right. So today they went public. They're trading on NASDAQ under the symbol AMPL, Apple, Mary, Paul, Larry, for Amplitude. Okay, they did, however, what's called a direct public offering. So here's what that is. Generally, companies go public when they're trying to raise new money for the company for growth. You know, like say they offer, 100 million shares of stock at $50 a share. Well, they raise $5 billion for growth. All right. What a direct public offering is, this is when a company has private shares of stock held by executives, employees, and so forth. And they simply sell those existing shares now to the general public. So they're not raising new money or creating new shares. And so what they do, they don't use a Wall Street brokerage firm, investment banks, as what are called underwriters. Underwriters bring companies public, they publicize it. Underwriters also, if a company goes public and stock starts going down, they have ways to stabilize the price. They can even, what's called a green shoe offering, even offer more shares for the company if it's a really hot offering. All right, but that's not what a direct offering, a public offering is. A lot of times those Wall Street brokerage firms are still involved, but more just as advisors. So anyway, we do see these on occasion. They're called direct listings, also, or direct public offerings, DPOs. So anyway, they're not very common, though. So what happened, Amplitude set a reference price of $35 a share. Now, a reference price doesn't mean a lot. All it is, it's just telling the public we're about to start selling shares. And it looks like when the stock first started trading, it kicked off at $50 a share, closed at $54.80, 9.6% gain from the opening trade. So anyway, but that's called a direct public offering or direct listing. So if you ever hear about that. So we had that today. All right, so let's talk about the stock market. All right. For your liquid money, liquid means you can convert it into cash fairly quickly at its fair value. All right, so for liquid money, in other words, not real estate or anything like that, for liquid money, there's basically three places to put it as far as investments: stocks, bonds, or cash. Stocks are ownership shares in a company, bonds are loans to governments or companies, and then cash would be things like what's called money market accounts, things like that. Okay, so what happened? The money shifts between the three markets. So what we had happen today were a few things. We actually had sell-offs in both the stock and bond market with money moving into cash. So why would investors do that? Well, they're anticipating higher interest rates. The Federal Reserve, the anticipation, I've been talking about how they've been pumping $120 billion a month into the economy since March of 2020 with the shutdown. That's called quantitative easing. And there's some anticipation the Federal Reserve may soon begin to pull back on that. They don't want to do it for too long to bring back long-term inflation into the economy. So as they begin to do that, the feeling is interest rates would then begin to go up a little bit. So the market feels, you know, we may be getting close to that time now. So what happened, you'll see reports talking about the Treasury yield went up, Y-I-E-L-D yield. All right. The interest rate. All right, so here's how that works with bonds. Give you this little further lesson on bonds. All right, so going back to my example from the other day, let's say you lent the United States government $1,000 for 10 years, United States Treasury, a Treasury bond, and it's $1,000, and that's the face value principal, and they agree to pay you 3% a year interest, which I did mention is higher than current rates, but it's been higher than that in the past. All right, so what would happen? You would get $30 a year for each of the next 10 years, at the $300 total, and at the end of 10 years, you get your $1,000 back. Okay, so what if you had to sell your bond early? You need the money. Well, if interest rates have gone up compared to what you've locked in, you may get less than $1,000 for it. The buyer is going to be like, well, look, I need to make up for the fact I'm getting less interest than the market. So I'll buy it from you at, say, $950, and I get $1,000 back. You make $50 on the principal, so that helps compensate me for the lower interest I'm taking. But the opposite happens. If you locked in high interest, you could demand more than $1,000. Investor might pay you $1,050, knowing they're only getting $1,000 back, but they're also getting higher interest in the meanwhile. All right. So bond prices actually, to a large extent, work on mathematical formulas. You could actually, if you're ever interested, just Google or just use any search engine you want to use. Just type in bond price calculator, or bond yield calculator will work too. All right, so anyway, here's what happens though. Bonds operate on a supply and demand basis. So when you have more buyers than sellers for stocks, price goes up, and more sellers than buyers, price goes down. Well, it's the same thing with bonds. So what happened today, investors were selling bonds, either moving into short-term bonds. We look at the 10-year Treasury as a benchmark. So investors were selling longer-term bonds. They didn't want to be caught with locked in lower interest rates if they start going up. And so what they did, the investors began selling bonds. And what they were doing, they were moving to shorter-term bonds or also what's called the money market. Now, I'll explain the money market another day. It's a place where you can earn interest on your money. All right, so what happens as they begin to sell the bonds, the principal value begins to decline. And so relative to the interest rate that's already locked in, the interest rate return or yield goes up. So that's what happened over there with the bond market. Now, how does that affect stocks? Well, what happens as interest rates on bonds, it's considered to be a forecast of what may happen to overall interest rates, a 10-year Treasury yield. Investors begin to sell stocks also moving into cash, because what they're feeling is that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, bonds may relatively begin to look like more attractive investments over time if they offer higher interest. I mean, think about this. If you got a bond paying 1% interest and you'd say, well, I'll go with the stock market, you know, stocks can be more risky because they can go up and down, but I'm only getting 1% over on bonds. But suddenly bonds are paying 15%. A yearly interest, and stockholders forget stocks. I'll just lock in those rates with bonds. So that's what happens. Investors begin selling off stocks for a few reasons. The feeling is the higher interest rates suddenly make bonds relatively more valuable than stocks or appealing, we'll say. Companies may be less reluctant to invest long-term because the money may not be worth as much. A higher interest rates can also sometimes be indicative of potential higher inflation. Borrowing costs go up, obviously, lots of reasons. So we had the stock market down today, but that's kind of the relationship. Investors are now anticipating higher interest rates. So we got that going on. All right. Mad Max Fury Road. That was the movie that was out in 2015 with the cars and the post-apocalyptic world. I liked the movie. You know, I don't know if it had much of a plot. It was mostly like futuristic cars and things blowing up and everything. But the thing is, we had Mad Max movies years ago, too. When you go to a Mad Max movie, I mean, as far as viewers, we're not really expecting war and peace or anything. You know, we get what we want. You know, things blowing up, fast-moving cars and all that. Well, anyway, those cars are pretty impressive. You know, if you're not sure what they look like, just Google Mad Max Fury cars. Anyway, I guess they just went up for auction. Lloyd's of London auctioned 13 of them, including that big tanker truck that was in the movie. I guess that's been auctioned too. And I'm thinking they may be hearing they may be actually auctioning more off. So even if you missed that auction, it just happened. You might have an opportunity. I'm not sure if they're street legal, but I guess if you're going down the road and you see a Mad Max car going right by you and somebody's manning those weapons up there, you know, like, get out of my way or else, well, you know what happens. So anyway, we had the Mad Max Fury auction. All right. Over in India, in their province, Rajasthan, that is, I believe it's one of, if not the largest provinces in India. It's over by Pakistan. If you're looking at a map of India, it's like over to the left. Anyway, well, I guess they just had, on Sunday, they had this big exam, 25 million people, 25 million people had their internet shut down because I guess the hundreds of thousands of candidates sat for the teacher eligibility test. Said it's an exam that paves the way to employment at a primary or secondary school. And I guess these are coveted positions. They have a lot of good benefits. So anyway, I guess they were afraid of everybody cheating. So they just took the internet down. So I don't know what went on with that. I remember back when I was in school. I mean, I certainly didn't cheat. I was the honor roll student. But I remember one time I was in class. I don't know what grade I was in, like eighth or something. And I'm hearing these clicking pens going on around me, ballpoint pens. And I guess what was happening, some of my classmates, if one of them had a question on his multiple choice exam, the first clicks were like the question. It'd be like, you know, question 13. It'd be one click, pause, three clicks, all right, 13. And then whoever knew the answer, one click was A, 2B, 3C, 4D. I'm like, wow. Anyway, so we had that going on over there in India. They shut down the entire internet for 25 million people. I guess so people, potential teachers, wouldn't cheat on their test. All right, so we had that going on there. Ford Motor Company announced, it kind of stunned the market, $11.4 billion investment with four new factories here in the United States for electric vehicles. Three will be making the batteries, and then the other one's going to be making trucks, and they're pretty moving far along on cars also. So anyway, they're claiming it's going to create 11,000 jobs over the next 4 years. They said, says that it'll enable them to produce 1 million electric vehicles a year, second half of this decade. So we got that going on. What's happened? Tesla has moved ahead quite a bit. Tesla is expected to sell 800,000 electric vehicles this year. And all of a sudden, the other companies are trying to catch up now, General Motors, Ford, and so forth, moving towards electric vehicles. Self-driving is also something they're all looking at, too, but their main focus, both focus, the bigger one of the two is those electric vehicles. I know that even Toyota, that has basically hadn't had much of an interest in electric vehicles up until now, have suddenly said that they're going to be getting in on it. So anyway, and General Motors has got new factories. So Ford said they expect electric vehicles to make up 40% of their production by 2030. So we'll see what happens, what goes on there. But that's big, big, big investment. I think the factories are in, here they are. They said Ford's new truck plant and a battery factory, one of them will be in Tennessee. Stanton, they said 50 miles northeast of Memphis. It'll be called Blue Oval City. You know, they get the blue oval for their symbol. All right, so we got that one. I think they said another one was going to be in Kentucky or somewhere like that. So there it is. Two plants in Kentucky also. Glendale, 50 miles south of Louisville. Okay, so, all right, so we got that going on. All right, so let's talk about, probably the last thing today, a couple of things. Oh, yeah, over in the United Kingdom, they're running short on gasoline, and food. I guess the government is looking to bring in the army to start moving gasoline around. The problem's not fuel. They got plenty of it. They got food. The problem's truck drivers. United Kingdom pulled out of the European Union, Brexit as it's called, and I guess they used to get a lot of their workers from the continent of Europe used to come in, you know, temporarily or somewhat permanently, and a lot of them were driving trucks and stuff. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, they've made it much more difficult for workers to come in, the government of United Kingdom, and so suddenly, I guess they don't have truck drivers. And now the government's kind of in panic mode. They just announced they're looking to bring in 10,500 workers. The question is, will the workers come? You know, they're finding plenty of work right now in Europe. You know, lots of places have shortage of truck drivers. So we got that going on over there. We got that going on. By the way, you sometimes hear the term England, Great Britain, United Kingdom. England is the southern part of the island, southern two-thirds, and they usually align with Wales, England and Wales. And then north, you have Scotland, and 1707, they united as a single country. So the entire island is called Great Britain. But when you add Northern Ireland from the next island over, it's called the United Kingdom. And if you're ever interested, the English flag is white with a red cross middle to middle. The Scottish flag is blue with a white cross corner to corner. You put one on top of the other, you have the flag of Great Britain. And then you add the flag of Northern Ireland, which is white with a red cross corner to corner. You add that, you got the Union Jack. It's three flags combined. Just Google it if you're interested. And just United Kingdom flags or something, it'll come up. All right, so Brexit may be kind of backfiring to some extent on the government over there. So we'll see what happens. Okay, also, we've got energy prices going up quite a bit, particularly natural gas. What has happened as the economies of the United States and the world reopen? Natural gas is a fossil fuel along with oil and coal. There actually is plenty of it. That's not the issue. Again, it's more the transportation, trucking, getting it moved around. United States, it's not as much of a problem here, but China is running into some energy issues now as their economy reopens, and that's we're having a lot of that. So we're seeing a rise now in energy prices, which could translate to higher gasoline prices. I know oil is used in packaging, lots of stuff. So keep an eye on that also. Market's not real thrilled about that either. So we got that. All right, the final thing, the government's debt ceiling. Many years ago, I guess some decades ago now, Congress put a debt ceiling as to how much money the government could borrow. The idea is Congress has to raise the debt ceiling. The idea is it keeps whatever party's in power from doing uncontrolled spending without input from the other party. All right. Well, we're going to hit our debt ceiling on Friday, September 30th. And at that point, if Congress has not agreed to raise the debt ceiling, we may have a partial shutdown of the U.S. government, as we have sometimes sub-government workers have to stay home. They're not being paid. They will be paid when things reopen. All right, so that happens. But the bigger issue is the default of the U.S. government. Basically, the Treasury is running out of money to, you know, finance and deal with the debt of the United States. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she estimates that the government has enough money to pay its bills up to about October 18th, which is only, you know, 3 weeks away. But she emphasizes that's an estimate. We could have an accidental default. It's kind of like overdrawing your checking account by accident. Suddenly, you have no money in it. You miscalculated something, and all of a sudden, your checks are bouncing. That could happen with the U.S. government. All of a sudden, the government pays back some of its debt every day. It suddenly is defaulting. Social Security checks would suddenly stop. I mean, this would be really bad, a default of the U.S. government. What would happen? It would drive interest rates up probably for years on end, even if they got it straightened out, the fact that it could happen again. So my experience has been, I've seen this before, where we're going to run into a possible default of the U.S. government. It gets lots of press. Congress, both sides, Republican, Democrat, I guess independents also, everybody pontificates, you know, they're always thinking about the next election. You know, I'm not going to give in. We have our principles. I'm responsible to my voters and my district. Then at the last minute, they work a deal out. And the politicians all can say, well, look, I did it for the good of the country, even though they'd already said they weren't going to do it. But then they say, I'll do it. So anyway, we got all that. It's going to be all over the news. I'd be real surprised if it doesn't get worked out. It always comes up to the end, it seems like. But that accidental default could be a problem. The government accidentally runs out of money. That October 18th date is a estimate. All right. So anyway, that's what I wanted to cover for today. Hope this stuff is helping. This is Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I will talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.